Welcome to this ASI cast, where Brian Jacobs interviews Fiona Blades, CEO of research agency Mesh Experience. When she established the company some 10 years ago, Fiona recognised that most tracking studies focused on TV advertising and that there weren't any that measured all encounters people had with brands, whether paid, owned or earned. To better understand these, she developed an approach she calls real-time experience tracking, which has a number of benefits, which she discusses here with Brian.
Okay, so hello everybody, this is Brian Jacobs, and today we're joined by Fiona Blades, the CEO of research business Mesh. So hi there, Fiona.
Hi, Brian. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Fiona, maybe because Mesh is obviously a comparatively new research business, and not, of course, it doesn't exist in many, many markets, as it were. Maybe you could just start a little bit by explaining what it is exactly that Mesh does and how you do it, what your methodology is and all that sort of thing.
Thank you, Brian. Yes, well, we started Mesh Experience in 2006, based in London at the time, because I felt that there was a gap in the market research industry. And everything at that time seemed to be very much around measuring TV advertising, but not about understanding every single brand encounter that people have, whether that's paid, owned, or earned. And I felt that unless you really understood all of those experiences, it was very difficult to make good marketing investment decisions. So we set up Mesh to solve that, and we created a new approach that we call real-time experience tracking.
Okay, could you explain a little bit about what that is and how that works?
With real-time experience tracking, what we do is we recruit in the normal way that you would do for another piece of research. So through an online panel, or it can be face-to-face if we're in certain parts of the world. And we ask people about their brand consideration and about their usage and about the kind of image statements that they might associate with brands. So we get a bit of a benchmark as to where they're starting. But the really interesting part is what we do next. And that is that we ask people to tell us whenever they see, hear, or experience anything to do with the group of brands that we might be interested in, whether this is retail banks or airlines or soft drinks. So people will tell us every single time they see a soft drink for the next week, whether that is through a TV ad, it's in store, it's seeing somebody else drinking it. They do that using their mobile phones with a mobile diary. They upload photos about those experiences and they give us comments. And then at the end of the week, they then have another survey where we ask them their brand perceptions. And what this means that we can do is we can then isolate exactly which of the touch points are impacting on key brand metrics like consideration.
Right, right. So once you collect all this data, of course, obviously this is done obviously for specific clients or groups of clients. How, in your experience, do clients use the data?
They can actually use it in a whole myriad of ways. So normally, the first thing that clients come to us about is campaign evaluation. And the issue that they're normally facing there is that they really want to drill down to every different element of the campaign. So they want to see the different content on TV, but they also want to understand the out of home, the digital, the in-store, and they want to have a look at how that's all working together and in isolation. So that's normally where most clients start to get a really deep understanding of their campaign benchmarked against everybody else's in the market at that time. But what happens after that is that they realize that there are other ways that they can use the data. So for LG Electronics in the States, they have a shopper tracker, and we've been working with them for 7 years, and we collect experiences of people who are going to be buying a TV or are going to be buying a home appliance in the next 12 months. So we can really understand that path to purchase and help advise LG about the partnerships that they have with retailers and how to optimize their investments with those partners.
Right. I mean, have you done much work for broadcasters or media owners?
Yes, we have. We worked for Sky for 3 years, and we were there looking at all their different brand advertising and all their content advertising. And of course, they are the largest advertiser in the UK. So we were really needing to understand all the different elements that were going out simultaneously, whether that was the launch of Sky Atlantic, or whether that was about a broadband promotion.
And presumably you're databasing the results, so you must have many millions, I would imagine.
Yes, we do. We have millions now. They're mainly from Europe and the Americas, but we do also have quite a lot of experiences from Latin America and from Asia too.
Right, so I mean, how big a database are we talking about now? I mean, you're talking about being able to analyse and cut and slice this in almost any way you want, I imagine.
Well, yes, it's well over a million experiences. And the way we tend to look at it is by different categories. So we would have a look, for example, at packaged goods so that we could see there what time of day we might be able to see who's being reached by packaged goods, whether that is through advertising or it's actually using the product, seeing other people use it, seeing it in store. And when are the most engaging times of day for those encounters to happen?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, with that much data, you must be in a position to draw some sort of learnings on things such as the context within which people are seeing messages. Now, obviously, at the ASI in Nice this year, we're going to be talking to an audience very largely of broadcasters and researchers, so, you know, senior executives from these sorts of businesses. What sort of insights do you think, or do you have any examples of the types of insights you might be able to bring up when it comes to the relevant context, the importance of relevant context within a campaign?
Absolutely. And I think that's the beauty of this database, because we've now had 10 years of different experiences that we've been capturing. So we can draw some conclusions. I was mentioning about the packaged goods. And in fact, what we see is that early in the morning, people are more positive towards packaged goods brand encounters. And when we drill down to see through which channel that is, it is actually TV advertising. And looking at comments, we can see that it's because many of the packaged goods ads are cheery and fun, and they are just lifting people's mood. And they say that it's that kind of advertising that they want. Whereas when we can contrast that with service category advertising, we find that actually the positivity towards that, so the receptiveness and how people are feeling about that, picks up after 6 o'clock. So it's obviously after six that people have got the mental space to be able to look at different service offerings. And in particular, we see out of home working well, where people have got dwell time on the commuter route home.
Yeah, so and presumably the types of editorial context in which messages appear must have some sort of an effect, I would imagine.
Yes, they do. And it's interesting what people say about the editorial context as well. So in the comments, sometimes they'll explain where it was that they saw it. And actually, sometimes that's that the editorial context is more important to them than the actual advertising. So occasionally, if somebody's seen an ad lots and lots of times, they might just say, "Oh, it was on while the footy was on." And you know that that means I've seen it lots of times. Whereas I remember seeing somebody describe a car ad and they just started with, "Wow, wow, wow." You know that's the first time they've seen that ad. And then they go on and describe in very rich detail about the advertising. So there is plenty that you can tell about the context in terms of the content of something like TV or digital, but also it can be in other contexts as well. Sometimes it's if you're with somebody that can have a different impact than if you're on your own.
And presumably, because you're collecting this data in the way that you do, you're getting very almost sort of real-time sort of insights, aren't you? I mean, you must be able to report back to clients really pretty fast after the after the event, as it were, rather than the sort of lag time that's fairly typical with tracking studies.
Yes, Sky was a typical example, actually. Sky wanted results extremely quickly. And so we developed the rapid response campaign evaluation, which meant that we could give a go, no go on day three, because we would know how many experiences we were likely to be getting for the amount of media spend. And then we could give a full campaign breakdown of what was working and what wasn't by day 10, when we'd collected all the analytics behind the campaign. So we can do that. And some clients also just like a regular feed to be told that, yes, we've got some responses now that have come in. And I'm thinking one anecdote as well that related to context, which you might enjoy, Brian. We were working for a charity, and they had a particular set of ads were going out at tube stations, very selected tube stations. And by day five, and we reported back how many experiences we had, which we thought was quite a reasonable number. And they said, no, you know, we should have lots more than that. Can you phone people up and find out what's going on? And we did phone people up, and yes, they were going through these tube stations that we had listed, but they would say, well, was it on the right-hand end? Because that's where I always stand every day.
Yeah, it's amazing how even the, you know, these small things make all the difference, don't they? I mean, understanding these sort of very human sorts of factors that do affect, you know, exposure levels, and indeed affect the way in which people respond to ads, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Fiona, it's been great talking to you, and I know that you've kindly agreed to come over to Nice to address the ASI event this November, and so we'll look very much forward to hearing some more from your fascinating database then. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you very much indeed, Brian.